audiobook of personal accounts from the beyond 1964 to 1965, via Swiss medium Beatrice Brunner. 5th of March 1958 is the beginning of a lecture series given by ascending spirit beings, that is, deceased human beings who report on their experiences in the beyond after earthly death. By 1970, 91 such first-hand testimonies have been conveyed through Swiss medium Beatrice Brunner. In 1962, a selection of these personal accounts is published for the first time in the book What Awaits Us, Personal Accounts from the Spiritual World. Experience Reports 1964-1965. From Past Life, Reported from the Other Side, Recounted Spiritual Experiences, When They Just Entered the Afterlife. Here then Google translated from German to English. Remark, this has been found in German language online, and translated here via Google into English, for personal use, and mistakes can certainly be found here, both in the translations, and in Google's perception, interpretation of the language otherwise. At some point in time, these messages will surely be translated and approved by the group, glz.org. These were originally only made to increase my personal understanding of the afterlife and how life there might unfold. But eventually I thought that this was so important also for others to understand, so therefore I posted in the unprofessional form, which can still be useful for the searching soul, who cannot understand the German language at all, so here Google translated to English. So even if this translation is not perfect, it can raise understanding for the searching soul, who can thus prepare for the afterlife. Link audio MP3s of this, foreword. The more than 2,000 lectures that were mediated by the deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner, 1910-1983, also include 91 experience reports from ascending spirit beings. These are stories from deceased people who report on their earthly life and their first experiences in the world beyond. These accounts are very personal. The reporters show in many different ways what effects their human thoughts and actions had and how individually they were judged and treated after their death. The accounts give a vivid insight into various levels of the world beyond and into the laws of cause and effect. They show how justice is done to everyone who returns home and how much God's spirit world strives to support everyone in their spiritual development. The reports date from 1958 to 1970. This book is the fourth volume in the reports series and contains the 18 lectures from 1964 and 1965. The new edition of the reports, they are being published chronologically in book form for the first time, stays as close as possible to the original text or the original wording. Editorial changes were generally only made where they were necessary when translating the spoken language into written form. The characteristic expression of the spirit beings who make themselves known here has been left as far as possible in its original form so that the reader can empathize with their individual nature. G. L. Zurich. Content. Hermann, A Soul's Retreat into Bliss. Adelheid, The Crown Farmer, Reconciliation Between Two Feuding Neighbors. The Missionary Katharina, Spiritual Support in an Earthly Prison Camp. Xaver, Courage to Change After Dissatisfaction with Oneself and God. Hannah, There Is No Idleness in Heaven. The Nurse, Caregiver Anton, Return of a Deserving Soul. Katharina, A Mistress During Her Lifetime. Adelheid, The Flower Queen, As a Spiritual Mother in a Children's Paradise. The Shoemaker Anton, Memories of His First Christmas in Heaven. Elizabeth, Preparation for the New Life on Earth. Henry, His Path to Recognizing the Rule of God. Kathy's, In the Service of the Tormented. Amelia, Blessed Are Those Who Mourn, For They Will Be Comforted. Peter, Died in Adolescence. Jacob, When You Don't Want to Accept That You Have Died and Think You Are in a Dream. Regular, Heavenly Bliss of a Helpful Sister. Maria and Arnold, Common Development Path of Two Feudal Systems. Ida, Turning Away from False Piety. Introduction. The world beyond that awaits us humans after death is a diverse world. It is divided into stages of ascension and accommodates the returnees according to their level of development, according to the spiritual merits and burdens that they have placed in their souls during their earthly existence. The spirit beings who speak in this book live in different stages of ascension. They were specially selected by the community's otherworldly leaders and teachers to report on their return home and their personal path of ascension in order to provide insight into the conditions of the spiritual world and the laws of God. Before each report of their experiences, the controlling spirit spoke, who was responsible for the spiritual supervision of the event. After the lecture, the listeners had the opportunity, if time permitted, to ask their trusted spirit teacher Joseph questions about what they had heard after a trance change. For all of those reporting, the last earthly life was already a considerable time ago. For their revelation through mediator Beatrice Brunner, they needed the help of God's world, which enabled them to bring the past back into consciousness. Some stories, such as that of Adelaide, the crown farmer, extend over a long period of time, two lives on Earth and the subsequent experiences in the world beyond. I was asked to explain all of this to you in this detailed way. I was strengthened by a spirit of God so that I could have these memories again. They were given back to me, because the past fades over time. The spirit world of God, however, has the ability to uncover the past again and again, no matter how far back it is. But it only does this when it serves a higher purpose. That is why I have been given the opportunity to tell it in this way. Adelaide the narrators lived on Earth in different circumstances and shaped their existence according to their personal possibilities, their strengths and weaknesses. Accordingly, is different their paths in the world beyond. While some were able to return to a happy sphere after a self-sacrificing earthly existence, others initially experienced a time of distress. A recurring theme in this volume is the initial disorientation of many of the deceased, or rather their desire to leave the place assigned to them in the world beyond and return to the world of humans. Xaver, for example, reports on the reasons for not submitting to God's order. After I woke up from the adjustment sleep, I made my way to the people. I wanted to look at them for once, because I liked being among people, for the following reasons. You could move anywhere, and I could go through anywhere without obstacles. I was still full of human feelings. At the beginning I even enjoyed it, I found it entertaining. The earthly objects, the earthly houses were no obstacle for me. You could walk through everywhere, you could go into all the houses, watch people, how they lived. I had done that at the beginning, but then my interest began to wane. I thought I should strive upwards, but the words that had been said to me, that I could live in freedom for a while, had stayed with me. And I wanted to enjoy this freedom. So I could have returned, that is, to my spiritual sphere, where I could only have talked to step-siblings. But I didn't want to do that yet. I still felt too tied to people, to the earth. I thought I could do something for my higher development on earth too. On the one hand, I didn't want to stay in the spiritual sphere, to be honest, out of fear of the future, of what would happen to me, because I had some reservations about the wrong I had done in life. So I didn't want to face the future yet, I wanted to enjoy freedom. I had no idea that I was holding back my development by doing so. But I liked it, and so I stayed with both people, thinking that I could do something for them too, which might be credited to me. Xaver, by the time they were passed on, however, all the spirit beings reporting had found their way into God's order and had submitted to the leadership of their higher brothers and sisters. During the time of my purification and instruction, I accepted many things and realized many things that I had done wrong. And I have only one wish, that what I learn in God's world stays with me and is never lost. Because I know that I must return to Earth and enter human life, and I know that much of what I have learned and of my resolutions can disappear. I know about the temptations and the weaknesses in human life. And so I make an effort to live in God's world according to the will of the Father. I am always attentive. When higher spirits come to us or approach me, I observe them and ask them specifically for a special instruction that could be beneficial for me. This wish of mine is always granted. So I live in peace and with great zeal to be able to achieve great happiness and great bliss. And so I would like to admonish people and remind them of God's commandments, of charity, of the life that pleases God, so that they can find the life that takes them up to the heights. This is my wish and the wish of all the spirit beings who accompany me. January 8, 1964. Herman, A Soul's Retreat into Bliss. Insight into the work of the Princes of Heaven. Control Spirit, greetings from God. I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, I have a very big request for you, and this request comes not only from me, but from all brothers and sisters who have the opportunity to speak to you. And if you are wondering why this request has not been made long ago, we would like to tell you that we have always tried to accept it, as you say, but we now think that a remedy could be found. It is this: we would like to ask you that those friends who are very close to me or to us, no matter whether it is Brother Joseph, Sister Len or whoever it is, who are sitting very close here, do not make any noise, that you do not make any noise with your shoes, nor constantly stroke your clothes with your hands, or perhaps always start to yawn at certain intervals. We would like to ask those who make such noises to sit a little further back, then it will certainly not disturb us. Because the noises caused in this way are like pinpricks for us. So we decided to make this request to you. And it is surely the case that one can pay attention and spot these friends who are making these noises, and then politely ask them to sit at the back. Because it could happen that the trance is broken off and cannot be continued, and that would certainly be a shame. So we ask you to make sure of this. I have now said this here in this hour so that you have all heard about it from us personally and so that not one friend has to pass it on. It does not happen every time. I would of course like to express that, we will not call them friends, you know that too. But, as we observe, it is always the same people, it is the same people who yawn, it is the same people who make noises. So we ask them to sit at the back if possible. That is our request to you for the new year. We wish you all God's blessing for this hour. We have tried to choose a good spirit with his beautiful experiences as a start, and you will be able to learn from them. May God give you the strength to understand it and absorb everything. Greetings. Herman, greetings. My name is Herman. I would like to tell you about my retreat and my life in the spiritual world. I had tried to lead a life pleasing to God, but I was also aware that I had not always lived according to God's wishes. I was ill for a relatively short time. When the time came and God had appointed the hour for me, I accepted everything. I was ready to say goodbye to this world, and I also tried to put everything in order beforehand. When I opened my spiritual eyes, everything seemed a little strange to me. As a human being, I had led a religious life, but had no real idea of what would happen after death. I believed in God, put all my trust in him and thought that it would be right, as he had determined for us, however it might happen. I had no idea that it would happen in this form, in this way, and I hadn't given it any thought. So I was now ready to face the new, but at first I had some difficulty understanding and accepting the new. When I suddenly saw with my spiritual eye, there was a group of divine, glorious beings around me. At first I had the feeling that they were only whispering, but later I heard clearly how they were speaking to each other. So it was my own fault that I couldn't hear so clearly. I was still too connected to the earthly world, and my thinking fell back into human thinking. I had sorted out a number of things, had spoken to my family about how I wanted it to happen, and so my thoughts were still going back to that. On the other hand, I tried to open my eyes to see the new things. At the same time, I felt very tired and just wanted to get some sleep for now. The new things that were coming at me made a great impression, but I felt strange. I saw many faces. From a distance, I thought I could recognize my parents, as well as acquaintances and relatives, but I only saw them blurred. So I had not yet fully opened my spiritual eye. Again and again I had the desire for rest, for sleep. But then I clearly heard the words of one of these beautifully dressed beings, "First we will let him rest a little, we will let him sleep." So I closed my spiritual eye and did not want to see what was going on around me. On the one hand, I was actually afraid of this future, but on the other hand, I could think very quickly and thought, "You are in the other world, you are with God, and that is what it looks like." But then I didn't want to look anymore and I didn't want to see, I just wanted to sleep. I was then led to a place of peace where I could sleep, and later heard a lot about it and saw that it was not just me who felt this way, but many who came there. I didn't know how long I had slept, and I didn't care. But when I opened my eyes again, I suddenly felt strengthened. All my tiredness had left me. They also brought me something to drink. I wasn't at all surprised that I had been offered a drink, I took for granted. Suddenly I had the feeling that this world, which was actually new to me, wasn't new to me at all. I began to wonder whether I had been there before. But now there was no longer the same hustle and bustle around me as in the first moments when I had opened my mind's eye. There were only three of the gloriously dressed beings around me. They spoke to me, and one said, "Yes, you have died from the world, but you live on, you are now in the kingdom of heaven." And another said, "You have now entered the imperishable world, into eternal life." And the third said to me, "Yes, what is still in disarray must also be put in order, we will take care of that." I listened to them, but now they were no longer such strangers to me. They helped me to stand up and I walked part of the way with them. Then I spoke up and said to them, "Yes, I know that I have said goodbye to the world, but I had no idea that the other world was so beautiful. Do I really deserve it?" And the three smiled at each other as if they wanted to say, "Yes, we are happy with you, but you could have done some things better." Now they explained to me that I would live in a beautiful house in the new world. This would be my home for the future, and here I would also be able to live in a beautiful house. I would not live there alone, but I would certainly have great joy in it. They walked with me on and on. I looked around and everything seemed so bright, so light, so colorful, and I felt everything is a great joy and bliss. Many other beings also came towards us. They greeted and waved to us, they greeted me as if they had seen me, met me, many times before. So I suddenly no longer felt so strange and had the feeling as if I had been there before. So I let myself be led away. The path went up a slope and there stood a magnificent, large building. They told me that I should be allowed to live in this building. It was on a slope and there was a wonderful view, you could see far and wide. But in this vastness you couldn't make out the details, everything just flowed together into one light. But it was an extremely blissful feeling that rose in me, which I cannot describe, cannot express as I felt it at the time. I felt so infinitely rich. And I couldn't help thinking back again and again to my human time, to the house I had lived in, which was actually so simple. And here, this opulence, this splendor of color in everything and this friendliness from all sides, no matter who you met. And so they led me into the house. Now it seemed to me as if the news had gone ahead that a new guest was now arriving. For from all sides they came hurrying out of the doors to greet me. I did not know them, but they all called me by name, I must have been known to them. I also asked, "Why do they know me, why do they call me by name?" My companions said, "Yes, we told them that you were coming, and we also explained what your human name is. Now your name is still Herman, as it was on Earth. We will let you keep this name for a while, later you will choose another name, one that is related to your work. But for the time being they will call you that." I was happy about this greeting, about the joy they expressed. I was just as amazed when I entered this large hall, which was decorated and beautifully adorned with flowers. But one of my companions immediately said, "These halls are always decorated, we are lucky to always be able to receive such guests here, we always have festivals to celebrate here, so to speak." I was amazed and thought to myself, "You can live here, there are always parties here, so what am I going to do here?" because even though they all rushed to meet me and greeted me, they went away again, and I had the impression that they all had a job and had to do that job. Then I was led through the hall into a large room, also magnificently decorated, where a table was set. They led me to this table and asked me to sit down. And then, at a signal, the sound of music rang out. They all came back, all of them who had rushed to meet me and greeted me. They came into the room and went to this table. I was just amazed and thought, "Do you have to eat in the kingdom of heaven too?" The angels who were at my side explained to me, "This is to welcome you. But you must not think that we in the kingdom of heaven would forego these wonderful foods. We too will eat them in due time. We have organized this feast for your joy, and so we are now celebrating a small celebration with you." Now they were all gathered around the table, and many lights were set up. Everyone present was introduced to me, everyone with his name and with his task that he fulfilled in this house or in the immediate vicinity. So I thought, everyone has something to do, and so there will be work for me too. When the introductions were over, one of these angels said that we would now say a prayer together and then we would sing and play music. Afterwards we could eat some of these delicious foods and they could say what they meant to me. They explained to me that I could go up to each one of them individually and talk to them, and if I was particularly interested in one person, I could talk to him. However, I could not talk to everyone, because there were a good number of them and that would have been a bit too much for me. So I preferred to talk to the three angels of God who accompanied me. They should give me information. I didn't even dare to start a conversation with the others, because I had the feeling that they were very important, exalted spirits of God. So I didn't want to just talk to them, and I didn't know what to ask first, because so much had come my way. I also had the feeling that I would embarrass myself by asking stupid questions and that they would laugh at me if I asked them. That's why I didn't want to start a conversation with them. That's what I thought, but my three companions recognized my thoughts right away and explained that they would be able to answer my questions, but that there was no pressure, that I didn't necessarily have to talk to everyone. And so they didn't do that. I can't say how long we were together according to human calculations, but I had the feeling that it was definitely longer than a day and a night. We celebrated together for so long, we sang, there was music, and poems were recited, it was simply beautiful. Then they all had to go back to their tasks, and I then asked the three angels to tell me more about those who had been there, what their work was. And I just had to listen and be amazed. One explained, the other added, and then the third spoke, who had something new to add. So one of them said to me, "All of those who were at the table with you are high spirits. But they are all serving spirits, they are serving angels. They in turn serve even higher beings, who are the princes of heaven. The serving angels are always in close contact with these princes of heaven, and they have a lot of tasks." Then another said, "You know, our main work is for people on earth and everything that is connected with them. We must not only concern ourselves with people, but with everything that is good for people, everything that is necessary for their lives, and in general with everything that has a connection with this earth." Then they explained to me, "You will be able to hear how people are trying to solve these problems here, you just have to be patient. You can now experience the kingdom of heaven, you can stay here in the house for a longer period of time, and you will not be given any further task than to let yourself be taught. You should start to take an interest in these angels, what their tasks are. Then you should try to learn something from that, and you can come back to us and ask us, and we will give you an answer and teach you further." The first thing I wanted to know was whether everyone who says goodbye to the world and goes to the afterlife ends up in such an environment. "No," they said, "not that. You see, your parents are also here in the world beyond. But you have only seen them from afar, they are not in this beautiful sphere. And you also have a son who is also in the spiritual world, but far away from you." Yes, I was also interested in this son. I wanted to stand up for him, but I didn't dare to talk about him first of all, because I was a little ashamed. I didn't want to talk about him, but now the angel had started. I had already planned to stand up for him here, but I wanted to choose the most suitable time to help him. But I wasn't only interested in my son, my parents and relatives, but also in my ancestors, my forefathers, because I would have liked to know how the ascension in our family had taken place. But now I was told again that this had to be put on hold for a while, that the situation could not be changed. The angel wanted to say that the relationship between me and my son could not be changed for the time being. So it was about my personal life first and foremost. The three angels of God then explained to me again that they assumed that it would not be too long before another great invitation. High angels would come to this house, and indeed to the same room where I had been led to the table. I can hardly describe the size of this room. In human terms it is perhaps 10 times as large as this room here, the Munchhalden Hall. Picture below. I was then told that all those who had greeted me would come and that they were now particularly busy making preparations for the arrival of their high brothers, but they would also establish their connection with other brothers and sisters. So I then experienced that such wonderful preparations were being made. The house was wonderfully decorated inside and out and the gardens were made even more beautiful. Brothers and sisters came with flowering trees, which they planted in a row so that it created a special picture. I can hardly describe how this was so wonderfully arranged. Brothers and sisters came with baskets full of small flowers. I would almost say they only brought the heads of the flowers. They then laid these fine, small flowers like carpets in front of the house. In the room itself they scattered these flowers very close together, one after the other. They also put certain words in them using flowers of different colors. It was a splendor that cannot be described. The walls were also decorated with flowers, one next to the other. You cannot imagine with your concepts how one can decorate the bare walls with flowers and that the spiritual house also has walls. Even though the material of the walls was made of the most wonderful material, a feast for the eyes even without the flowers, these flowers were nevertheless used in part in this large room. Perhaps you can picture in your mind how the ceiling was covered with flowers, one after the other. Not just in one color, but in such a way that it created a wonderful play of colors. I was told that this room in particular was decorated because it was known that these high princes of heaven descended into this very house. There was great industriousness. Other spirit brothers and sisters came from other spheres to express their artistic ability and help to decorate and glorify the whole. When everything was ready, the house was covered with the most beautiful flowers and the gardens were also decorated. Those who had been introduced to me, who carried out their work in the house, talked about the clothes they would wear. The three angels who were at my side had promised me to give me my first and most beautiful dress for the occasion of this celebration, which I was to wear to this celebration. It was of course not in the style of human fashion as at the time of my earthly life, but it was a cloak such as is usually worn by the spirits of God. They wear long, flowing cloaks, sometimes also tight-fitting dresses made of very precious fabrics, spiritual material. One can dress in a variety of ways. I saw this in my surroundings and found that everyone made a wonderful show in their clothes. But, I was told, it would be even more beautiful. I was curious to see what kind of dress I would be given, because I immediately saw that the highest spirits who have an important position also have a corresponding appearance. But the serving brothers and sisters were also very expensively dressed. But there was a big difference between this preciousness and that of the very high spirits, because their garments were adorned all over with precious stones, while the garments of the serving spirits were also adorned with precious stones, but not in this splendor of color and variety. I should also mention that this is not a humiliation for the serving spirit. He knows that in God's world there is just such an order and that one spirit of God stands above the other and rules over them. Now they were all to come. We were all prepared for this, as I emphasized. The house was decorated, and I was now given the first magnificent spiritual garment. I would like to add something. When I opened my eyes in the spiritual world, I was wearing a very fine, soft, white garment.